Howdy. It's been a minute. It's actually been more like a month and a half almost, but I've been very busy, very preoccupied with some other things going on. Nothing bad at all, but had to put the podcast on the back burner for a little bit, but we're back. It is Monday, July 17th, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Who Gives a Dram. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to explain what's going on in my life a little bit, and I'm happy to be back behind this microphone here at Who Gives a Dram Studios, all the way in southern Rhode Island. Nothing better. There's nothing better. It's hot in here. I caved and I put a air conditioner in my living room. I usually don't do that. I've actually never done that in the 3 years I've lived here. But I put an air conditioner in my living room this year, as well as my bedroom. I usually put one in my bedroom, but this year I also put one in my living room. So I got two ACs just running at all times, and my electric bill is going to go up quite a bit, but it is what it is. I'd rather be a little cold than a little hot, and that's always been my mantra. I'd rather be a little cold than a little hot. Anyways, we are here today, and this is going to be just a check-in episode. I'm going to let you guys know what I've been up to, and I'm going to let you guys know kind of what to expect moving forward here. But no whiskey review today. I honestly need to take a break from drinking whiskey. I just got back from Kentucky a few days ago. I was there for 2 weeks, which was part of the reason I have not released an episode. And I drank a lot of whiskey while I was there. I'm not going to lie. It was quite the trip in a very good way. Don't get me wrong. And I want to talk about the Bourbon Ball, which was massively successful. I want to talk about some other things I did in Kentucky, and I want to talk about what I've been up to. But first things first, man. As you guys know, I'm a family guy. You know, not don't get me confused with Peter Griffin, but I'm a family guy. I'm big on family and friends and being there for people that you want to be there for, people that you love, people that you care about, and people that mean a lot to you. And that's been the case with me for a few days now with a very good friend of mine, a whiskey friend of mine, an Instagram friend of mine, someone who's been on the podcast before a few times, twice, I believe, for the Canadian Takeover episodes, and just an overall tremendous human being. That's Mike from the Whiskey Morgue Instagram page. And one of my favorite Instagrammers on the platform. I love his stuff. He's a great guy. And we have been talking the past few days, and unfortunately he had a tragedy happen in his life, and I'm not going to talk about it because I'm not sure what he's told people. I'm assuming nothing. I'm assuming he hasn't said anything, but he told me, and I just wanted to say, Mike, if you're listening to this, I'm thinking about you and your family. I'm wearing your shirt that I bought from you today in honor of you and your family. Scary Movie Social Club. Go to Whiskey Morgue on Instagram, and you can probably find a way to buy this shirt. I bought it, and it got here with the handwritten note from Mike, which I kept, and it's incredible quality. Hugs the arms nice. Look at this right here, little flex right there. Makes my arms look way bigger than they are. And I love it. And I love Mike, and I love his entire Instagram feed and who he is as a person. I love Spooky Season, and that's what initially drew me to Mike as an Instagrammer. And now he has a lot more followers than me, and he deserves it because he makes great content, and he is just one of the nicest. They say it's annoying because the reputation that Canadians have is that they're overly nice. And two Canadians that I know very, very well, that I consider two of my closest whiskey friends, Mike from Whiskey Morgue and Daryl from Whiskey Sith are always the nicest people. So they're just like playing up on that stereotype of Canadians being super nice. I want to do another Canadian Takeover episode here very soon. But I wanted to dedicate the beginning of this show to Mike and his family. Mike, you're a whiskey brother of mine, and you know I'm always here for you if you need me. Just to talk or to drink whiskey with, I don't care. You're my whiskey brother, so I hope things get better. And I would toast a whiskey, but like I said, I am whiskeyed out, and I don't have a glass near me. I would toast a whiskey, but we'll toast a whiskey together, you and I, on FaceTime or on Zoom or on a podcast. So just thinking about Whiskey Morgue, go give him a follow on Instagram if you don't already. But if you listen to my show, you should follow him. Other than that, a lot of things have been happening to me in the past month. I've been incredibly busy in a very good way. I've been traveling a lot. I was in California for a few days, and then I went to Kentucky for 2 weeks, and now I'm home again, and I might be traveling in the next few weeks. I'm not really too sure. Wish I could tell you guys what I got going on, but I can't yet. But it's awesome. It's awesome stuff, and I am really excited to share with you guys what my upcoming ventures are here as soon as I can. I also recently passed 2,000 followers on Instagram, which is relatively speaking, it's nothing compared to a lot of the people that I interact with. Like Chris from Whiskey Noobs has over 100,000. So my thing is I only follow people. Well, I don't follow back a lot of people because I don't go on a lot, and I don't scroll that often. I'll scroll for like maybe a minute and look at posts, but then after I post, I kind of just let it be. I try not to go on Instagram as much, but I do try to keep up with my content. But I did pass 2,000 followers, so I appreciate all the people that follow me on there. It's now Connor_whiskey. It's not Who Gives a Dram anymore. I changed it to Connor_whiskey to highlight me as a person rather than just the Who Gives a Dram podcast. But make no mistake, the Who Gives a Dram podcast isn't going anywhere. It's still my baby, and I'm still going to be doing it for as long as I can speak. So yeah, 2,000 followers. Kind of crazy to think of 2,000 people in a room and all those people follow your page, which is awesome. And, you know, Bourbon with Friends, we have 22,000 followers, so that's even much crazier to think about on that page too. But I don't like to measure worth or anything by followers because that's getting into a sticky subject there, because a lot of people do buy followers, and I don't know if anyone in the whiskey space does, but I know for a fact like a lot of the spam profiles buy. You'll see somebody with 100,000 followers and they're following three people, and you can just tell they're fake, and obviously they're putting thousands of dollars into fake followers. But I've never done that. I don't even know how to do that. I've boosted posts before to help get the word out there about some episodes and stuff. But other than that, I don't even know how to start that process of buying followers. And, you know, I got to 1,000 followers pretty quick when I first started my page, and then it kind of just really slowed down, probably because people realize I'm an idiot. But now that we're at 2,000, you know, it's cool. So thank you for that. Thank you for following me, Connor_whiskey on Instagram. And thank you for following the show as well, the Who Gives a Dram podcast. On this hiatus that we've experienced, or that I have experienced in the lack of recording, we were actually ranked. We haven't dropped an episode since June 8th, and it's July 17th, so almost probably six weeks. In that hiatus, a few weeks in, which was crazy to me, we became ranked in the Whiskey Podcast Australia rankings. So that was cool, which was weird because I hadn't put out an episode in 3 weeks or so, and I didn't have any new content at the time. And I saw I was like the number two or number three whiskey podcast in Australia for a few days. And when I say this, it's not consistently. I'm not always getting downloads. If I don't release an episode, I'll still get downloads every week, but I won't be getting the amount I do when I release new episodes, put it that way. Speaking of new episodes, my plan is to get a bunch recorded. I have a podcast set up for later this week with my cousin Tessa, and that has the potential to be a pretty heavy episode, so I'm going to go to her house and we're going to record it in person, and I'll get it on video and put it on YouTube as well. Obviously, I want to do my Canadian takeover episode again with Daryl and Mike. I have a lot of people that I want to have on, and I want to get back to kind of just reviewing whiskey and talking, you know, MMA. We have a lot of good fights coming up. We have I never talked about The Flash on here in length, but we have Oppenheimer coming out and the Barbie movie coming out, both of which I'm incredibly excited to see, and definitely more so Oppenheimer than Barbie. Just because I love Cillian Murphy, and I love, I don't love Christopher Nolan. He's made some movies that I thought were really overrated, like Inception. Never thought that was as good as other people said it was. And, like Dunkirk, didn't really like it. Never even saw the most recent one. It didn't make any sense to me, but, definitely want to talk about those as well and just drink whiskey. And I have a lot of whiskey to review still. I have a lot of bottles. So the future of Who Gives a Dram is bright. Lots of things to talk about. Lots of cool people we can have on as well. And we're going to continue to have fun with it. But the purpose of this week's episode is to kind of recap Kentucky, talk about the Bourbon Ball a little bit, and talk about another cool meeting that I had, which explains this hat that I'm wearing, which I'll get into. But first things first, the 2023 second annual Bourbon Ball benefiting Folds of Honor was a massive success. And I'm very proud to say that because there was a lot of uncertainty going into this year about how this event would play out. The numbers were not trending to what they were last year as at the first event. And that was for several reasons. But at the end of the day, it was an incredible event. The day of the event was very stressful, but for other factors outside of the venue, the Kentucky Castle was incredible, especially on the day of the event. They were on their A game, and I was very happy that we had our event there again this year because they were so good on the day of the event, and can't thank them enough. The Kentucky Castle did awesome. Beautiful venue, obviously. Who wouldn't want to party at a castle? And everything went smooth. We sold most of our auction items. In fact, Tessa and I are going to drink two of the auction items that Tessa won, bid on and won. One was specifically for me. Another one, they were both for me, really, because they were both scotches, and Tessa doesn't drink scotch. So they were both for me, and we're going to drink them together next week, probably. And she doesn't drink scotch, so I told her, you're at my event. The least you could do is bid all your money on these bottles. And she did. Not all her money, but she bid a healthy amount, and it all went to the great Folds of Honor charity, which is an amazing charity to begin with. And partnering with them is an honor, honestly. It's amazing being able to partner with such a incredible charitable organization. A lot of people from out of state came this year, and that was amazing. Like the fact that people are traveling hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles to come to this event and make a weekend out of it is kind of why we do it. And I mean, we did our VIP tasting with Dan Calloway, who is the vice president of product. I want to say product and development, but he's one of the VPs at Bardstown. He's an incredible guy. He's about 7'4", and he led our VIP tasting with the Bardstown experience. And he had asked during that tasting how many people were from out of state, and almost half of the people raised their hands, and there was about 70 or 80 people in that VIP tasting. So a healthy amount of people came from outside of the immediate vicinity of Kentucky, including myself, which was awesome to see. That is our goal with this, is to bring people together to help support an awesome cause. And that's what we did, man. That's what we did. We had Dan Calloway leading the VIP tasting, and that went right into a cocktail hour, which was sponsored by 1620 Distilling, which is co-owned and ran by our good friend Allison, who was awesome at the event. She spoke for a little bit in front of the audience and did a fantastic job. And people loved the 1620. They made a really good cocktail using 1620 at the cocktail hour, which was very popular. I think I had one myself. Funny thing is, I did not drink that much. I maybe drank the equivalent of a glass of whiskey through the 5 hours our event was running. And I wanted that to be the case because last year I think I drank a little too much and I started giving bottles away. And I don't think I should have done that. But, you know, hindsight 2020, this year I wanted to make sure that I was there for people. I wanted my goal to be like I would go up to everybody at some point and ask how they're doing and if I can do anything for them and just to thank them for coming, which I think I did. I think I hit almost everybody that was at the event. The cocktail hour led right into dinner, which was a 5-course meal, and it was great. The chicken was great. I enjoyed it. We had a keynote speaker by the name of Michael Lamy, who survived getting burnt on most of his body. It was a steam burn he was deployed, and he was such a good sport about it. And the jokes that he was cracking, he was joking on himself, which is I think the funniest thing that you can do, and shows how confident you are in yourself. If you can rip yourself before others rip you, that's like a superpower. If you can joke about yourself before others even joke about you, or while others are joking on you, then that's like, those are the people that I want to be around. If you can't take a joke and you don't call yourself something, then you're not the person that I want to be around. But we had Michael speak, which was amazing. I introduced him. And it's funny because I do a podcast, right? But I'm here by myself. And then sometimes I'm in the room with guests. Sometimes, you know, especially on Bourbon with Friends, I'll be with multiple people in the room on occasion. But I've never been keen on public speaking. I had a terrible, terrible anxiety over it in high school. And I knew I was going to have to speak at this event in front of hundreds of people. And I didn't even have time to think about it before the event because we were running around so much, getting stuff done. And the day before and the day of were very busy and pretty stressful days. I'm not going to lie. They're pretty stressful. But when it came to it, I felt myself getting a little anxious, but I was able, just without drinking alcohol, just stuff it down, compartmentalize how I was feeling, and I was able to speak, and I was very proud of myself for that. So pat myself on the back for that. I did a good job with that. And that was an accomplishment of its own, I think. I mean, just doing that, the main goal was for the event to be a success, which it was, but also to have that in my back pocket as well, like to be able to say, oh, I was able to public speak. to be able to speak in front of these people and actually sound coherent. One, when I introduced Michael, I read it off my phone. I typed it up about 20 minutes before, and I kind of just read it off my phone. And I kind of got lost at one point. So, but then we spoke after, and I just spoke from the heart. I gave my Uncle Craig and my cousin John a shout out. Both, unfortunately, as you know, passed away. Both veterans, or one was active, John was active duty, and my Uncle Craig was a veteran. And that's who Folds of Honor helps families like my family who go through tragedies like that. And I felt the emotion in that moment while I was, you know, saying how proud I was to partner with Folds of Honor in that particular moment. It was amazing as well because my cousin Tessa came down for the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And she actually got there Thursday, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And having her at the event was the coolest thing ever. Because a lot of the times my whiskey business and my personal life are very separate. Like, everybody knows in my personal life that I have whiskey podcasts, and I do it all the time, and I'm the whiskey guy. And that's kind of like how I'm known around my area, I think, to people that keep up with my stuff. They know me as the whiskey guy. They know that I do my podcasts, and they know I kind of devote my life to it. But that's never the case. I've never had someone from my family meet anybody that is part of my whiskey life. And I was able to meet a lot of my whiskey friends on the weekend of the Bourbon Ball as well. I mean, too many to name. I was able to finally meet Derek, Straight Lines and Bourbon, Amanda, Jess. I mean, so many people. Brandon, like so many people I was able to meet a few weeks ago now. And it was so cool seeing. I mean, that's a large reason why I do this is to make those connections and to make those friendships, which is why, you know, going back to the beginning of the episode, why I wanted to shout out Mike, because I think of Mike as a true friend, not just someone that's on Instagram and I like his stuff and he likes mine. I consider Mike, if I needed something, if I was going through shit and I had to call someone, I know Mike would answer the phone, as he knows is the same for me as well if he needed to call me. Same thing with Daryl. Same thing with a lot of people on Instagram. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of people. But that's what this is for. It's getting together and forming those bonds over a shared interest in the water of life. And that's essentially what the Bourbon Ball was. We all had our common interest in whiskey and helping our amazing veterans and the families of those veterans and first responders. Which is incredibly important to Paul and I, which is why we do it. I do want to say Friday night as well, the night before the ball, was great. Castle and Key Distillery hosted our event the night before, where we offered tours of the facility, as well as a tasting led by Logan and Mac at the Basement Rick House, which is amazing in person. I was able to go to their Basement Rick House and get a few drinks down there, honestly, with Logan and Mac. So that was awesome to meet them in person and to, I don't think Mac knew who I was when I saw her at Castle and Key. I don't think she recognized me or knew who I was, maybe, but I said hi and I kind of shook her hand or gave her a hug. I don't remember, but I could tell she was like, who's this sweaty guy? Because I was sweating. That Friday night was very hot. It was super hot. Super hot fire. If you remember those YouTube videos, you're old, because that was my childhood. Super hot fire. Bing, bang, boom. Ba-da-ba-boop. Pow. But Castle and Key was fantastic. It was super hot. And our singer that was performing for us kind of during the mingling hour, she was amazing. I forgot her name. Kentucky native, I believe. And she was incredible. I actually meant to message her on Instagram, so I got to do that after this podcast. Yeah, but the whole weekend went incredibly smooth. Like, it was stressful in the moment, but overall it was super, it flowed super well. It was very smooth, which was the biggest improvement from last year. Last year was kind of bumpy. Things went good, but it was bumpy getting there. This year, the transition between the VIP and the cocktail hour, and the cocktail hour and dinner and the silent auction and the auction and then the band, Thomas Fountain and his band playing for us. It was all very smooth, and it was all very, there weren't a lot of hiccups this year. There were still some minor hiccups, but nothing, but it was such an improvement over last year that although we didn't make as much money technically, it just felt like a much better event. And the plan is to do it again next year and to make this thing even bigger. And I think we'll do it. I think, you know, our first year, the interest was there. People wanted to come. It was a massive success financially. The second year, maybe the interest dropped a little bit because it wasn't brand new, but people knew that first event was great. And they would say, this is great for a first event. And that kind of, to Paul and I, was like, well, we can't have that this year because this isn't our first event. We can't have people saying this was great for our first event. We have to have people saying this is a great event and I'm coming back next year. And I kid you not, every single person I talked to said that. Even the staff of the Kentucky Castle said how great of an event it was and how well ran it was. And that was important to me. I made sure I went up to each and every worker after and shook their hand and said thank you for being here tonight. And helping us with this. And I didn't give them a bottle because I would have gotten yelled at, but it was incredible to hear the workers say, like, no, this was a really good event, you know, we're happy to work it, and that was amazing. It was great. It was an awesome 2 nights. It was an awesome weekend. A lot of money was raised. And it was just, I feel like everybody had a great time. And that was the most important part to me, was that everybody enjoyed their time. Also, the person that I brought, Emmeline, was fantastic. She helped us out a little bit before the ball. And she's again, a really close friend of mine, not even a whiskey friend, just a friend. And I wanted her to be there with me because she's from Kentucky. We only got to hang out once, briefly, before the last time I was in Kentucky. And I said, you know what? Just come to the ball. Come with me. That's where I'll be. It'll be great. And she was an awesome person to have with me for the 2 nights, the Friday and Saturday. So, Emmeline, thanks for coming. It was great being with you. And I met so many incredible people as well that I had never met before. First one that comes to mind, Rachel. She was great. She's such a smart person. Had a long conversation with her. Has her own businesses. So Rachel, if you're listening, you're the best. Thank you for coming. And it's just a plethora of other people that own distilleries, people that were there, that didn't drink whiskey but came as a date of somebody else and then started drinking whiskey and then now they love it. And of course, the OG whiskey friends that were there. And I made a long post on Instagram about people to thank, and I'm not going to do it again here on the podcast. You can go to my Instagram and look at that post. But the biggest person, as the biggest people, are Paul and Liz, because they're actually in the area and they're boots on the ground. It's tough for me because A, I don't know how to do events, and B, I'm so far away that they really make the event happen. And I do my best, especially, you know, leading up to it, the few days before. And I do my best to help. But it's really on their shoulders. And they killed it this year. They both of them. They did great. So Paul and Liz, that's why this event was successful. If it was just me doing it, Lord knows I probably wouldn't have ran that smooth at all, even close. Sipping out my red Solo cup, some tap water, because I ran out of bottled water. Because before I left for Kentucky, I wasn't going to go shopping, and I still haven't gone shopping because I haven't really had a lot of time. So my house is empty. I don't even have bread. Thankfully, I can go shopping at the local grocery store called my parents' house. If you are a mid-20s to early 30s, and you are lucky enough to live by your parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're single with no kids like me, you live alone, grocery shopping at mom and dad's house is sometimes the highlight of my week. But anyways, that was one of the highlights of the week. There were a few more. We did tour some distilleries. We had an amazing podcast, honestly my best podcast I've ever done. We did it at Four Roses Distillery. We did it with the master distiller, Brent Elliott. We had special guest Graham McTavish on the show, which was incredible. And it was myself and Paul, and we had a great episode, a funny episode, an informing episode, an entertaining episode. I think everybody from the whiskey noob to the whiskey connoisseur is going to love that episode, from, you know, bringing our own personal style of kind of laid-back jokey jokes, but also listening to Brent explain the whiskey and how the whiskey we were drinking came to fruition, hearing Graham's thoughts, being, you know, someone that is learning a lot about bourbon as we speak and has a genuine interest in the spirit, and hearing him talk through his tasting notes and then comparing that with mine and Paul's and Brent's, and just led to this incredible hour-long conversation that I can't wait for us to release, because it was great, and I really do mean that. We also did podcasts at Blackwood Distilleries, from Guinness McFadden, former Kentucky Derby winner, I think 2019, who's one of the coolest whiskey people I've ever met. He's awesome. We did Bardstown Bourbon. We didn't do a podcast there, but we toured the facility. It's the first time I ever went to Bardstown, and it was amazing. We did a podcast at Barry Brinegar's house, who's co-owner of RD1, and that was an awesome episode as well. That was incredible. And we were supposed to do a podcast with Kentucky Senator at his house. I'm forgetting the co-owner's name right now. But we had some technical issues and we ended up not doing it, but we still drank with them for about an hour. We sat down, had a few drams, and they were, the both of them at Kentucky Senator Bourbon were fantastic. And we're going to do a podcast with them coming up here shortly. I think this week or next week, we're going to do something online together. So that will be fun. Other than that, man, I want to talk about one more thing that I did in Kentucky before I log off this podcast, because it was a very spur-of-the-moment thing, and it was, looking back on it, just such a cool experience, and one of the coolest experiences of my life, if I'm being completely honest, because it's not many times you meet something or someone that is that's going to leave a lasting impact for history. By the records they set and the accomplishments they had. It's like meeting Muhammad Ali. It's like meeting, I don't know, Michael Jordan. It's like meeting Tom Brady. It's like meeting someone that's just going to be a goat of their respective profession. And that's what I was able to do. The day I left Kentucky, which was last Wednesday, which would have been... would have been the 12th. I met a legend in the horse racing game. A legend. This horse, I'm actually going to pull up on Wikipedia right now, just so I can give this horse a proper introduction. And this explains my hat as well. A thoroughbred racehorse who won the American Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup Classic in 2015. He was the 12th Triple Crown winner in history, and in winning all four races, became the first horse to win the Grand Slam of thoroughbred racing. He won the 2015 Eclipse Award for Horse of the Year and 2015 Champion Three-Year-Old. In 2021, he was inducted into the American Racing Hall of Fame. He was bred and owned throughout his racing career by Ahmed Zayat of Zayat Stables, trained by Bob Baffert, and ridden in most of his races by Victor Espinoza. He now stands at stud at Ashford Stud in Kentucky, which is where I went. This is probably the most accomplished and most profitable racehorse in the history of racing, American Pharoah. I posted a video about it on my Instagram and my TikTok, and I've had horses my whole life. I grew up with horses. I used to have a mare. I grew up with a mare. Her name was Cricket, and a draft horse. His name was Socks. Those are the two horses that we had. Sadly, Cricket died of old age, I believe. She was on her way out. Socks, sadly, we found him dead in the paddock one morning, which I still think about every so often because he was a huge horse. He was a draft horse. He was about 18 hands, if I had to guess. And I learned at Ashford Stud in Kentucky that a hand is about 4 inches. So 18 times four, whatever that is how tall Socks was from hoof to shoulder. That's how you measure horses. And we found him just kind of lying dead in the paddock. That was a sad day. That was a very sad day. That was a while ago. Those are the two horses that I grew up with, and we have had Cooper ever since. Cooper was there with Socks before Socks died, and they didn't really get along. They were fine together, but they didn't get along as well as Cricket and Socks did. But Cooper is still alive and kicking. He does his thing. We rode him a little bit. By we, I mean my mom mainly and a little bit of my sister. But now he just chills and he has a great life. But I've had horses my whole life, and watching American Pharoah walk out of the stables into the sun. We were standing in the sun. It was very hot. I wish we were in the shade, and seeing the muscular structure of his legs as he walked with like a perfectly groomed coat, very shiny, and just walking around and knowing that this horse is a $1 billion horse. It's like, wow, that's incredible. And it was, I mean, when you went up to him, like I went up to him and I pet him and I called him a good boy and stuff. That is like, okay, this is just a horse. But then you think about like the accomplishments that this one horse has had. And you start to think about how American Pharoah is going to be forever enshrined in racing history as probably the greatest racehorse of all time, unless someone else does it at a quicker time. I just want to read here. I just saw it. He won the Triple Crown in a wire-to-wire victory at the 2015 Belmont Stakes, became the first American Triple Crown winner since Affirmed in 1978, and the 12th in history. His winning time was the second fastest for a Triple Crown winner. He next shipped to Monmouth Park and easily won the Haskell Invitational on August 2nd. 3 weeks later, he finished a close second in a hard-fought Traverse Stakes at Saratoga Racecourse on August 29, 2015, snapping a winning streak of 8 races. After a layoff of 2 months, he shipped to Keeneland for the 2015 Breeders' Cup and ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic, where he challenged older horses for the first time and won by 6.5 lengths, breaking the track record. That's insane. So he won the Triple Crown. The Triple Crown is... the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and the Belmont Stakes. And then either the Traverse Stakes or the Breeders' Cup Classic as the fourth race to do the Grand Slam of Thoroughbred Racing. So I was able to meet American Pharoah the day I left, which was awesome. But they also said, well, American Pharoah's not the biggest. I asked. I was like, is American Pharoah the biggest horse you got? And he goes, no. There's this horse out back, and he has a $200,000 stud fee, which basically means a stud fee for horses is basically like it gets paid to squirt inside a female horse. You know what I'm saying? It's like this guy has a $200,000 stud fee. He was a championship horse. He wasn't as accomplished as American Pharoah, but he's 17 hands tall, stallion, the largest and most expensive we have at the barn. And I was like, well, I got to meet this guy. Who is he? And they said, oh, he's Uncle Mo. And I said, well, bring me down to Uncle Mo. And they gave me this hat that says Uncle Mo. And I'm only speculating here, but I think they saw a lot of similarities between myself and Uncle Mo. Namely, sharp jawlines, large delts, large legs, powerful strides, great posture. And we both love to squirt. Sorry. But we met Uncle Mo. We couldn't pet Uncle Mo because he's a little feisty. But we were there with our good friend Graham McTavish, and he fed Uncle Mo a peppermint. And I want to see if I can actually Google Uncle Mo. Yeah, right there, Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo is an American champion thoroughbred racehorse who went undefeated in his two-year-old season and was named the American champion two-year-old of 2010. However, his three-year-old season was disrupted by illness, causing him to miss the Kentucky Derby. Retired to stud in 2012, he was the leading freshman sire with his first full crop, which included 2016 Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist. So basically, his son won the Kentucky Derby. And he has... Yeah. Uncle Mo was the leading freshman sire of 2015 North America and the overall leading sire of two-year-olds in Europe and North America. In 2016, he was not only the leading second crop sire, which I don't know what that means, but he also finished third in the general sire listing despite having only two crops of racing age. His stud fee was increased to $150,000 for the 2017 season. Uncle Mo has sired 11 individual grade one winners. I feel like that's pretty flipping good. He won at Churchill Downs, Breeders' Cup. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in 2010. I mean, Uncle Mo was me, you know? Uncle Mo was me. And I am Uncle Mo. So I felt the connection automatically with Uncle Mo. And they gave me this hat. And like I said, I can only imagine they gave me this hat in particular because of the similarities between Uncle Mo and myself that don't even need to be spoken. And I definitely didn't ask them for the Uncle Mo hat. I definitely didn't. They definitely just gave it to me and said, you remind us in some way of Uncle Mo, even though we just met you. And I said, thank you. So that was my Kentucky trip. That was my Kentucky trip. I met champion racehorses. I hosted a very successful two-day charity event. I did some amazing podcasting and went on some awesome tours with Paul, with our friend Graham McTavish, which was amazing. And I was able to just experience being away from home for that long. I've never been away from home for more than a week. Or maybe it was 10 days total in Scotland. I'd never been home away from home for that long. So that was definitely different, but I was 100% ready to come home at the end of it. I know Paul was ready to kick me out of his house, and I don't blame him. I would get sick of anybody after 2 weeks. The only person I don't think I would get sick of is Kale because we grew up together in the same room, so I would just be used to it. But yeah, I would definitely get sick of me if I wasn't me. So I don't blame them, but it was a great trip. And now it's kind of back to normal, for lack of a better term. I don't have any immediate trips planned, so I want to do some podcasting. I want to drink some whiskey. I want to do some reviews. And I'm excited to get back into kind of the daily routine of what I'm accustomed to. So with that being said, I'm going to end this podcast now at 45 minutes. I appreciate you guys for listening. I apologize again for this lack of podcast episodes coming out, but I promise we're going to start releasing more and more. And who knows, I might even have plans for a few bonus episodes thrown in there. So make sure you're following me on Instagram, Connor_whiskey. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That's the best way to make sure you don't miss a new podcast episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave me a 5-star ranking and leave me a review so I know that you like the show, and that will help us climb the algorithm of Apple Podcasts. Twitter and TikTok is also Connor_whiskey. And then you can also follow Who Gives a Dram on Facebook and keep up with everything that I'm doing. Go follow BWF Podcast on Instagram. Go follow Bourbon with Friends on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I am still doing multiple podcasts a week. I just haven't done Who Gives a Dram. So I have no whiskey to cheers today because no whiskey is being consumed today. And it feels sacrilegious to cheers a water. So I will leave you with this. Whiskey's the water of life. So let's start living.